May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. We are given a promise of a new kind of freedom, a spiritual freedom that we think, will, and speak all that is good and true. If we are honest with ourselves, which the Lord commands us to be, we might recognize how far removed we are from such spiritual freedom. Do we always reason, think, will, and speak what is good and true? And do we do it out of a love for our neighbor and the Lord? It is a lofty goal from our natural, lowly perspective. And we might wonder how we could ever achieve it. Thankfully, we don't actually have to achieve it. It is something the Lord achieves for us. We merely have to get out of his way. In our story today, the Lord was going to destroy the Midianites, with or without Gideon. He was going to do it. But he wanted Gideon to be part of the process. The Lord will order the heavens. He will create a heavenly kingdom. Angels will go to heaven. He would like us to be with them. In the three kinds of freedom, we have, mercifully, a path towards spiritual freedom. We are born with a natural freedom from heredity. This is the kind of freedom that we all feel. You feel like you get to do what you want to do. Even if you are stuck in jail, with your own body, you can basically do what you want to do. That's a natural, hereditary freedom. And you have a reason which justifies things to do what you want to do. You might think, well, I want to eat this ice cream, or well, I want to sleep in, or well, I want to marry this person. All good things. But you justify them for yourself. That's a natural freedom, and we all have it naturally. In our culture today, that is the kind of freedom that is celebrated. We value that kind of freedom as if it was the highest ideal of our culture, not to trample on another person's natural freedom, and to live out our own personal life according to our own personal desires, our own natural freedom. It's what comes naturally. Strangely, in our culture today, the word natural has taken on a virtuous connotation. This is a deep tragedy. Natural is not inherently good. It is inherently a tool, like any tool, to be used for good or evil. And it is where the battle lies. Thankfully, the Lord can, in a way, secretly lead us to rational freedom. If, for completely selfish reasons, you want to appear like a good person, you begin to have what the Lord calls rational freedom. This rational freedom is the freedom to act rationally, reasonably, to treat your neighbors with honesty and integrity, to not lie, cheat, commit adultery, or steal, to generally behave outwardly as a moral person. And at first, because we are born into natural freedom, we do this selfishly. We do this because we want people to like us. Most people who go to work, especially when they're young, don't go to work because they genuinely love the Lord and the neighbor above all else. They want to get paid. Or at least they want others to think that they're a hard-working, honorable person. They might want the pride and honor of their parents. They might want their friends to not think that they're lazy. They might not want to go to jail. There are all sorts of good, natural reasons to do good. But they're self-centered. The Lord tells us that the key to moving from this merely external rational freedom into an internal rational freedom is seeking an eternal life. Spiritual freedom results from a love of eternal life. No one else comes into that love and its delight but one who thinks that evils are sins and for that reason does not will them, who at the same time looks to the Lord. This is the key. We are born into natural freedom, and our culture and our education and our society has led us, sometimes unwillingly, to a rational freedom, where we usually behave like good people. The key at that point to having spiritual freedom is to love eternal life. How do we love eternal life in those moments? Well, natural freedom generally looks to natural delights, wanting good things to eat, wanting to get paid, wanting people to give us things, to give us cheers and honors, to give us titles, to say, well done, I'm proud of you. Those are delights that come and go in life. And that's what a natural freedom wants. And a rational freedom realizes that the best way to get them is to behave as if a good person. So how do we learn to love eternal life? The Lord tells us, anyone can come into this freedom, provided he is willing to believe that life is eternal, and that any delight and blessedness of life in time, for time, is but as a fleeting shadow compared to the delight and blessedness of life in eternity and to eternity. Marriage is an easy example. Conjugal love teaches us that the first fires of romance and passion are given to couples so that they may experience a glimmer of what truly conjugal love in heaven might be like. People often fall in love because they feel something good about the other person. They think, oh, this person makes me feel good. And that's an okay way, and it's a natural way to begin a marriage. But a marriage should recognize that those first fires of romance and love are a fleeting shadow to what might last forever. Think about receiving a gift from someone that loves you. They might give you a present or bake you a cake on your birthday. And you're happy about the cake. But if you take a moment, close your eyes when you're about to blow out the candles and think, this cake is a fleeting shadow. When I'm done eating it, tomorrow or 3 days from now, I will never think about this cake ever again. It is gone. Does that mean the cake is meaningless? The cake has meaning not because it's something delicious. The cake has meaning because it's the expression of love from someone who loves you. And the cake has even more meaning because the Lord gave that person that love for you. Think of that. All the good things that come to you in life, be they delicious, be they profitable, be they honorable, if they're done in order, they are gifts from the Lord out of love. And they are merely vessels containing that love. And that love, that gift, lasts to eternity. That's what it means to look to eternity, to think beyond what is here and now. Gideon was afraid. He was stuck in a barrel, hiding from the Midianites, because he was not looking to eternity. He could not see the end in mind. But the Lord knew that he could achieve heaven if Gideon let the Lord do it for him. Gideon first had to believe the Lord, as do we. The Lord is not calling us to instantly have spiritual freedom, to miraculously love our neighbor in the Lord, and to always act out of pure goodness, honesty, and faithfulness. He is simply asking us to recognize that the good that's in our life is a vessel of love from the Lord. See that it is more. See that obeying the Ten Commandments isn't just a good idea because it will make your life easier, but that it is a path to something so much more. And then simply obey. At first, it will not feel like freedom. We are told that at first it appears not to be freedom, even though it is. But afterwards, it does appear to be so. As we live this life, as we practice an internal rational freedom, recognizing that all the blessings of life are from the Lord and are blessings of eternal love, then we can come to act in real freedom, thinking, willing, speaking, and doing what is truly good and true. It is a beginning. So do not fret that you have a mere natural freedom, or even that you're only acting rationally so that you look good. That is the way the Lord will lead you. Recognize that it is a tool, a vessel, for the Lord to bring you to heaven. The easiest way to do this is to return to the Lord again and again. You've already done a wonderful step. You should already feel like a mighty man of valor. You're sitting here in church on a hot Sunday morning. You don't have to be. You freely came. Maybe you came so that other people would think you looked good. Maybe you came because your spouse wanted you to. Maybe you came because your parents wanted you to. But you chose to come for whatever reason. And you now face the Lord in his word. All you have to do is say, Lord, for whatever reason I came, change my heart so that when I leave, I remember you. And I came for the right reason, so that I might love the neighbor and you. It's why we have Sunday worship, as a weekly reminder that the Lord is where all these blessings come from. It's why we might have daily prayer and daily reading of the word, to remember, because it is so easy to forget. We are born into a natural freedom, and the Lord has led us into a rational freedom. And through prayer and worship, we may turn and have the Lord give us spiritual freedom. Amen.